So I'll be sharing with you guys today, and I'm excited to do that. Although I was very, very hesitant because life was lifing a whole lot. You ever get that where life is lifing and then you're like, I can't do anything more. There's nothing more. But then I'm like, okay, fine. But how many of you were here for the Christmas Eve service? Was that not like... Like, did you go home just feeling completely just peace? I don't know. It just felt so good. It really went well. I'm not saying that because Tom is here, because I don't think it was just Tom. But like, legitimately, the whole flow of the evening was really beautiful. Watching the kids come up here and, like, have a whole rock star moment of a band was something so cool and really special, and watching the different gifts that they're starting to pursue at such a young age, and watching that transpire into using it for worship, it's great. It was really cool. But how many of you have been here during the last 4 weeks leading up to the Christmas Eve service, the Advent season? Yeah. How confident are you, Brent? Because he went as his head tilted this way and his hand went to about here and then stopped. Yeah. Were you here? You were, okay. That was great. Over those 4 weeks, somehow I was either in the nursery or somewhere, so I was just getting bits and pieces and then watching it online for the most part. But I really have loved the interpretation of these different areas and kind of just reflecting in the midst of real life and how those things that we pursue, the Advent calendar of hope and peace and joy and love, in the midst of sometimes just the real life battles that happen all the time. And we sometimes don't talk about them in the same sentence together. We talk about them as separate entities, but usually the best way to do it is to talk about God's way of meeting us in the midst of those things. And so, very, very beautiful. So, does anyone remember hope in the midst of, what was the first one? Dumpster Village, yep. Peace in the midst of? War zone, yes, very good. Joy in the upside down. You were here, see, Brent, good job. And love in the midst of, huh? What did you say, Chuck? I think you said it. Dark night. Very good. I was here once. That's perfect. He was here once. You came through. You did your part. That was good. So what's crazy about this is I feel like this is my exact prayers over the last 5 years or so, is how do I have peace in the midst of the war zone? And how in the heck am I supposed to have hope when this is, well, you say a dumpster fire or a dumpster village. I always said a dumpster fire, like, but yeah, same thing. Dumpster village. How do you have joy when life is flipping on its face and nothing seems right? How do you do these things? And sometimes I really didn't have an answer other than just to lean in and then hope for the best and keep praying and asking the Lord for guidance, because I don't know. So it was really beautiful to see something that had been a constant prayer of mine in the midst of some really, really, really tough life and a lot of things where I had to have wisdom and the Lord had to give me wisdom on things that I really didn't know what to do. So this was really, really beautiful. And then there were a few bullet points that had gone down after that were part of his message, where, you know, we all have struggles. We lean into God's ways. God moves where we cannot. In your faithfulness, God positions you. In your faithfulness, others notice. Attacks will come. And then the last one, Christ leads to a godly legacy. And so I started thinking about the process of a godly legacy. And just the beauty in that term right there, just Christ leads to a godly legacy. And what is that? What does that mean? Are we pursuing it? I mean, if we don't understand it, then we can't pursue it. And if we don't pursue it, it can't happen. And if it, like the dominoes keep going. So the closer we can get to understanding it, the better. And so it took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we are going to stay in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 the whole time. So once you get there, we're there. It's great. Which is pretty beautiful. So I started looking at the process of having a godly legacy and doing a moment of some self-reflection. And I think that's something that we probably don't do enough of. It's something that maybe... Now, I know it's New Year's Eve is coming up and people have resolutions and that. I'm not a huge New Year's Eve person, but I understand that our culture is pretty big in, like, we're starting something new, like 2025, in the past, 2026, gonna be great. And then usually by three-fourths way through the year, they're like, we're done with 2026, this is horrible, can't wait for 2027. And it just keeps going on, and it's the cycle that just keeps giving kind of negativity, to be quite honest, except for maybe 3 weeks until we give up on things. But the process of self-evaluation is something we should honestly be doing. We should have a daily self-evaluation, I would say a weekly, a monthly, and then from there, really whatever you feel is necessary, whether it's yearly or 6 months, whatever makes sense for you within that. But that's the only way we can really look at what is our godly legacy and how are we pursuing it. And if we're not pursuing it, it's not going to pursue us necessarily unless we're being a part of it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3 shares with us, and I want to, before we like really dig in, I was looking at the process of these different letters and Paul writing letters, and I asked Tom because I was not completely sure, but I felt decent about it. But the difference between 1st and 2nd Corinthians, there was about a year between there, timeline-wise, from the first letter to the second letter. He had gone to Asia and was continuing to share the gospel with people, continuing to share with them, and share with them practical, applicable ways to be able to follow Christ, and maybe some of the ways that he's like, you're not getting it in this area. You're kind of really messing it all up right over here. And these are some options of fixing that. So I've always really enjoyed these letters and these instructions, and it feels very doable. It feels very, I can read this, and I can know what it says to do, not do, and reasons why, and it makes sense. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it begins with, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Verse 2 is where I think it just starts to get something pretty amazing. You yourselves are our letters, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. And just in that small section, I thought, what does my letter say? And what does the letter of those that I reach say? And so, in the midst of us kind of going through a process already of our letters that we had written and received back and kind of pursuing, like, where are we? We had a, Monica, was it 2 weeks ago that we had the little potluck? I think it was two weeks ago-ish. And we just had a great conversation of, you know, where are we at individually as a church? What are the stumbling blocks? That was a beautiful self-reflection and church reflection that was priceless. I'm sad that there were about 8 of us. I wish that it would have been a full house. It it would have been really great, but there's beauty also in the smaller groups and how we were able to communicate. But these verses begin to kind of, to me, tell a story of we're no longer in these stone tablets of rules. Yes, they're here, stone tablets of letters to give to us or to the Corinthians or to, like, fill in the blank. But now we are the letter, and what does our letter say? And so I will begin to read on, but I just thought to myself, what are our human letters stating so far for our lives? Do we need to evaluate before we write any more of our story? Or to write anything else down, do we need to take a minute to evaluate and kind of rethink some things? I did not do that on purpose, but that is what I said. Sorry, that just came out of my mouth, and I know, anyway, okay. Back in my own lane. Okay. What are we known for? What are we known by? Are we known for our joy? Are we known for serving God and serving others? Are we known for our anger? Are we known for our selfishness? Are we known for our patience? Fill in the blank and try to evaluate that. What am I known for? And I think part of this process should be probably a little bit painful, but I also think a lot of it can be healing if we lean in. If we lean out, then it just turns into a whole bunch of pain, right? Because all of this ends with our hope being Christ, right? All of it ends not in our own ability to do this, but in his ability to do this. So, self-evaluation, what are we known by? What do others see within us? And not that we are going by, based off of their judgment or their thoughts of us, but it is a great understanding of what we're able to give and what people are seeing. And that should take us back to Christ. So, in verse 4, so such confidence in this is our thought, or ours through Christ before God. Not that we're competent in ourselves. That is for dang sure. We are not competent in ourselves in to claim anything for ourselves. But our competency comes only from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So if it's just a letter, it's pretty useless. But the letter with the Spirit of God, his ability, his competency, mind-blowing, life-changing. Not just our life, all the people around us' lives. Ooh, it's good stuff. And I'm going to move down to then verse 12. So, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. I love that they could have just said bold. They could have just said bold. We're bold. We're very bold. And I don't know what everyone's translations say. Hopefully it's in all of them. If it's not, only use this one. I'm just kidding. But we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. To this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, within this, there's a few different things. You know, we talk about the veil being torn. I was talking with Charlie, and she's back with the the littles today, I believe. Yeah. And so she was kind of saying, I don't know if I understand the veil concept. And so I think there's probably a lot of you that do understand that concept, but it's a great reminder of just the veil being torn and the process of when we are made aware of moments when we are not in unity with Christ. In the temple, there would be a veil, and that veil was a separation between, like, the innermost part of the temple. So for us, Christ dying is the veil being torn, and we have access to God in a mighty, powerful, beautiful, no limits kind of way. No limits. We are the only one that puts limits on our access to God. And I think, honestly, I've, like, really maybe soling him short, and I think it's a beautiful thing is coming in the future of just seeing that further, seeing the power of him. But anyway, that's with me, not you. But we have to walk through the process of truly seeing the veil being torn. What are the areas where we can be growing? What are the areas where we can self-reflect, really evaluate? And so, I would like for you guys here, in a short time, we're going to begin to hopefully have some reflection, and at some point, we will cut the live feed short so that we can have some time in-house together, and I do want to take time to reflect with each other, maybe about what our letters are currently looking like, the ways that maybe we're not really getting it right, maybe the ways that we are growing with Christ, and then looking forward at practical ways where we can begin to lean in. It's one thing to hear it in your mind and say, I probably could do this, but it's another to say it out loud, and it's another thing to share it with the people that are in our circle. And our church should be such a safe place to have that conversation, to be humbled, and to be able to get, hopefully, some people around you as accountability. And so the process of that is maybe a little intimidating, but it's also really beautiful.